Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we celebrate and accelerate gospel work in cities all around the world. This is a special podcast today because we want to introduce you to Daryl Crouch. He is going to be partnering with us to host our City Gospel Movement podcast. We'll be getting to know Daryl today, and over the next coming weeks and months, you'll be getting to know him as he interviews leaders all around the world. Daryl is a pastor at Green Hill Church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and he is also the founder of the podcast For Our City, where he has interviewed City Gospel Movement leaders around the country. Welcome, Daryl. Great to have you join us today and for the listeners to get to know you. We're looking forward to partnering with you on future podcasts, but for today, let's get to know you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's great to be with you. Great to partner with you.
Hey, we always like to know who we're talking to and get a little bit of information just about your background and what you've been doing up to this point. Can you just give us a little bit of your personal history in the ministry?
Sure. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all that you're doing and the organization City Gospel Movements is doing. It's exciting to be a part of it. And so I'm honored to be here. I've been a pastor, pastoring a local church for 25 years, really, not the same church, but a number of churches and in different capacities. I was a senior pastor for a long time, and then I went into a staff role, worked with single adults as well as college students for a time, and then went into an associate role, and now I'm back in a senior pastor role just outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
That's great. So, Daryl, you know, I like to ask this question because I think it's very common amongst leaders who have either an aha moment or a series of moments where God kind of asks them to do more in their city with their faith. Can you share a little bit about maybe a moment or a series of moments where that happened for you?
I think that's true. I know for me, the overwhelming lostness of our city, I don't know if that's the best word, but the number of people who are not connected to Christ or his church that live in my city alone. I'm in a what used to be referred to as a Bible Belt community, but most of the people that I know and that I'm neighbors with and that I do business with, they're not following Jesus. They're not connected to a church. They're not involved in any kind of kingdom work. And so when you begin to think about the world and us reaching unreached people groups, and then we wake up one day and we find that maybe a large unreached people group is right around the corner from us or right across the street, I think that's a sobering moment. I know it was for me. And so it just caused me to reevaluate the way I looked at ministry, the way I looked at the church, the way I looked at the kingdom work. And so while I was maybe taught or somehow learned along the way that as a pastor, I'm responsible for the people who come to my church. And that's true. I am. I'm to shepherd the flock that's among me and around me. But I think there's a growing sense that I'm really responsible for the people in my city. As we look at the New Testament, Paul wrote letters to cities. Jeremiah wrote, obviously, to the people of Israel who were in Babylonian captivity. And he really challenged them to live for the good of the city or the welfare, the peace, the shalom of the city. And so when I came to a bigger understanding of my responsibility and my role in my own community, things began to change for me then.
That's a great insight. So, Daryl, what happened next then for you after just kind of having a little bit more awareness about shepherding not only the people coming to your church, but the city as well? What happened next?
Well, I became very curious next, and I began to ask a lot of questions, look at what other people are doing around the country and around the world, and considering what the possibilities might be. I pastor a medium-sized church. It's larger than maybe 75% of other churches in my region, but nevertheless, still a very medium-sized church with limited resources. But I just began to ask the question, what is my responsibility and how do I engage and how can I engage my city? And began to be curious about how other people were doing that. And so from that, I just began to reach out to leaders in my city and ask questions. I think one of the most helpful, it sounds very simplistic, but one of the most helpful things for me was to begin to ask the question in a sincere way, is how can I serve you? And just taking people to lunch that I didn't know or visiting with people that were outside of my domain, my faith tribe and began just to ask the question, what ways can I add value to your life and really be interested in the answers? That was a turning point for me. And that was a big step really for our church family as well. A great step that they enthusiastically embraced, but nevertheless, as a leader, it was a big step for me.
Yeah, I know, Daryl, one of the steps that you took was to start a podcast. Can you kind of tell us what led you to start doing that and kind of the journey that took you on?
Sure. Yeah, that's part of the curiosity in me said, hey, I need to learn more and I need to connect with people who are already doing this and already in this space and learn from them. And so I listen to podcasts when I run or when I'm driving down the road, and I'm a big podcast fan. And so I thought, why don't I start a podcast and use it, really cheat a little bit, I say, to just learn from people who are already in the work, and at the same time be a resource to other people and also be a resource to my own church family and to the churches in my own community for them to connect and kind of get a sense and more texture or more context what a city movement could really look like. And so, yeah, the podcast became an important part of that journey of just curiosity, of just trying to learn and grow my own leadership in this area.
Yeah, I remember when we kind of stumbled upon your podcast and you did a great job and we just thought, oh, we need to talk to this guy. And now that we're going to be partnering together and having you co-host some podcasts, what is it about partnering with the Palau Association and City Gospel Movements has got you a little bit excited about just the future of being able to do this kind of work?
Well, that's a great question. One of the greatest encouragements is that there's other people in the country and really around the world who have been doing this for a long time, that I didn't invent this. And really, I don't know that any of us have invented this. Jesus modeled this and the New Testament church modeled it. But in our own generation, to know that Kevin and you and many others have been doing this for a while and engaging the city in a way that is winsome, in a way that's loving. Sometimes evangelistic efforts can appear, at least to the non-believer, like we have ulterior motives. Obviously, we have an ultimate motive that folks would come to Christ, but the Plow organization has just done a great job in building credibility with people who aren't among the Christian tribe or our faith tribe. And so I just saw it as an opportunity for me, again, to learn, to grow, to understand a little bit more about this movement that can take place. And I think what the Plow organization has done is just to remind all of us, local church leaders and city leaders, of what really is possible. And so y'all have done a great job of modeling that over time. It's not a flash in the pan kind of endeavor. You've really done that over time in a way that's been just remarkable. So it's exciting to me to stumble upon folks as well that have been doing this for a long time and doing it well.
So, Daryl, one of the things that I personally love interviewing leaders and talking with people, because I think you're right, it is so much about seeing what is possible and hearing what is possible in our own cities. And when we can see that others have gone before us, then we might be willing to do it ourselves. When you talk with leaders, and I know you've had your podcast for a little bit now, and now we're going to start doing some here at City Gospel Movements, what are the things that you really enjoy when you talk with people?
Oh, that's so good. I could talk about that for a long time. I think to know that, to hear their story, to hear their journey and how God has been working in their life to prepare them, to give them a passion. And then the unique nature of each story is just remarkable, that there's not one size fits all, or there's not just one way to engage our city in a way that's effective. But to hear how God has put the right people in their lives, the right opportunities at the right time, and then they've launched out. They've kind of gone into a new territory that's not as familiar organizationally necessarily, that we find a lot of comfort in our organizational rhythms, but they've stepped outside of that and really trusted God in a way that's been unique even to them. And so most of the stories that I hear are from people who are doing things that they never expected to do and seeing God do some things that they've always dreamed of him doing. And so that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. I like the way you just said that. So I always like to ask this question because I think it keeps things very real. So we have what we like to ask of wins and fails. So in this, personally for you as a pastor and doing this work at City Gospel Movements, what would be one thing that you just felt like, wow, we really knocked that out of the park. We did a great job and it all fell together. And then what was something that you're like, wow, we really thought this was going to fly and it just didn't?
Yeah, I've heard you ask that question before, and I've never had to answer it. So I think the win has been just really one of the greatest wins recently has been just the fruitfulness of relationships. And I know that sounds a little bit ambiguous, but we had a city convener just a few weeks ago. And that was the culmination of about 3 years, really more than that, but we'll say 3 years of cultivating relationships with leaders in our city from the domains of government and education and business, social sector, and the faith community. And we were all in the same room, and we were all excited to be there, and everybody contributed. And I was able to share a portion of the vision of what a city movement could look like among people, many of whom are believers, but many of whom are probably not faithful followers of Christ. But to hear their enthusiasm and their interest and their common motive to serve the city and for our city to be better. And so that was a real win. And what will come out of that, only God knows. But the enthusiasm with key leaders in our city is just really encouraging. I think the fails or the setbacks come when we pull the trigger too soon, or they're not always failures, but they feel like it because our expectations were maybe misplaced. And so I think early on, we tried to do some things in our schools that they didn't trust us. There wasn't a level of trust. And so we would mobilize our church family, for example, to serve in a way that really wasn't received very well, or maybe we didn't hear the affirmation we wanted to hear and really didn't get traction in serving the school in this particular case that I'm thinking about in a way that we really saw as a win. As a matter of fact, it probably hurt my credibility a little bit, at least short term. But even that setback helped us to show that we were willing to show up when nobody really cared one way or the other. So while it felt like a failure at the time, it really did add another layer as we built credibility. But at the time, it felt pretty bad.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those. I know that oftentimes we don't necessarily celebrate the fails, but I think it's important that we all see that this is a work in process and that the fails often get us to our greatest successes, but we need to have the fails to even get us there. So thanks for being willing to share that with us. Hey, one of the other questions I like to ask is, what is the best advice that you have either received or that you would give to people doing this work in City Gospel Movement space?
Well, yeah, that's really good. I've heard some wonderful things already. I'm excited to talk to so many others as we move forward. But one of the things that stuck with me a few weeks ago is that listeners become leaders, and that the people that are willing to ask the questions and are willing to listen to the responses and really respond to the answers to those questions really gain influence. I've seen that in my own city. I've seen that in my own relationships, as I'm just simply asking questions of people in my city, in my community, and people appreciate us being interested in them. And so I think, I'm not sure who said it, I can't remember exactly, but that listeners become leaders. And if we're willing to listen and listen attentively, God will expand our influence.
Oh, that's really good. It's just good for your soul, too. Hey, what do you think is your hope and dreams for the future of City Gospel Movements and just this overall space of churches uniting to love and serve their cities and share the message of Jesus? What do you hope for the future of cities?
Oh, that's so good. I think pastors, I'm a pastor, and so I understand some of the pressures of the urgency of being prepared for Sunday and shepherding people well. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. And when pastors and church leaders begin to hear about city movements, and the question they may have is, or the concern they may have is that I just don't have time. I don't have bandwidth. I don't have staff. I don't want to be off mission. But reminding churches and church leaders and pastors, certainly, that this is kingdom work that they can be a part of, and just having the platform that could celebrate and accelerate, as we say, what God is doing and can do in their city. It's energizing. It's a reminder that God's work is bigger than our work, and that He's invited us to join Him in something that's going to last forever. And so I hope it's an encouragement to pastors and leaders, not another stack on the to-do list. And so that's pretty exciting to me, to be able to encourage and come beside and equip the people that we listen to, or the people that we interview, rather. They don't just have great stories, but their stories contain great insight and instruction for us who are trying to follow in their footsteps. And so I think that the being a resource to come beside churches as they unite in their city is pretty exciting.
Thank you, Daryl. This has been such a treat to get to know you, and we are so looking forward to your interviews on the City Gospel Movement podcast. That's it for today. This is the City Gospel Movement podcast, where we help celebrate and accelerate city gospel work around the world.